It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
At exactly 8 minutes after two, this is the third and final hour of live music and conversations with me, Nayolo Pondo. We're live until 3 o'clock and still continuing together. We do have on the line now our next pastor, Pastor Alan Tendekai Marimanzi, who's helping us understand a few things about the parables of Jesus. So the responses of characters in Jesus' parables are really interesting, yeah? They offer a rich tapestry of human attitudes and behaviors that continue to resonate with contemporary audiences. So let's explore some of these responses and how they mirror the ways people respond to the message of Jesus today in our own respective ministries. Joining us now, once again, like I said, is Pastor Alan Tendekai to help us chew on these responses. Good afternoon to you, Pastor, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Okay, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you.
So let's talk about these responses. How do the responses of characters in Jesus' parables reflect different attitudes and dispositions toward spiritual truth and moral responsibility?
All right. Thank you. Jesus' parables often reflect different attitudes and dispositions toward spiritual and spiritual truth and moral responsibility. Though parables were used as a teaching tool to convey deep spiritual truth and to challenge his listeners' understand his listeners' understandings of his moral responsibility. So here are some few examples that I'm going to use. For example, I'll start with the parable of the sower, which we find in Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 to 23. The seed, right, that's the word of God, falls on four types of grounds. The first one being the wayside, the rocky ground, then the ground, the thorny ground. Then we also have, lastly, the good soil. The wayside represent those who hear the message but don't understand it, allowing the evil one to snatch it. The rock ground receive the message with joy but quickly fall away when faced with difficulties. Then the thorn hear the message but comes they hear the message. But then when they hear the message, when distractions come, they are so much confounded by worldly concerns. Now also lastly, we have the good soil. These ones, they hear the soil, they hear the message, they understand it and they bear fruits. So this is an example of different people who accept messages, or they accept differently the message of God. Then maybe the secondly and the last one that I'm going to answer, this one will be the parable of Good Samaritan. This parable challenges the listeners' attitudes towards moral responsibility. The Samaritans demonstrated compassion, self-love, while the religious leaders displayed indifference. Well, had time been permitting, I was going to talk about the prodigal son, but I think I'll end here for now.
Okay.
So through these stories, Jesus encouraged his listeners to reflect on their attitudes and to strive for a deeper understanding of spiritual truth and greater sense of moral responsibility. Thank you.
So in what ways do these responses of characters in Jesus' parables challenge our assumptions and attitudes toward parables? And perhaps challenge our assumptions and attitudes towards issues such as forgiveness, reconciliation, and social justice?
Okay. No, that's okay. So I will start with forgiveness. Here we find also the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. This parable challenges our assumption about forgiveness by highlighting the importance of extending the same mercy and forgiveness we have received. Then maybe I can add another example for forgiveness, which will be the parable of the prodigal son. The assumptions will be after what he did, he wouldn't be forgiven. Yet it's not what the Bible teaches, or it's not what the parable says, but it's not what we have done or what God desire, what God has done for us. Then I'll move on to reconciliation. The parable of the lost sheep. This parable challenges our assumption about the value of every individual and the importance of seeking reconciliation. Then on that one, on the reconciliation, I also had another example, which will be the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan, despite cultural and religious differences, chops to help and a wounded stranger while others passed by. It challenges our prejudice and calls us to extend compassion, care to all people regardless of their backgrounds and social status. Maybe lastly, that will be the parable of social justice. That will be on social justice. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus. This parable challenges our assumption about wealth and poverty, highlighting the consequences of neglecting the needs of marginalized, of the marginalized. It raises questions about our responsibility to address social injustice and care for the disadvantaged. So these parables challenge our assumption and attitudes by presenting alternative perspectives and calling us to examine our own biases, prejudices, and behaviors. Thank you.
I'm hearing you talking about society and social injustices. Let's just zoom in on that. How do cultural and societal factors influence the way individuals respond to the message of Jesus today? And how does this compare, for example, to the responses depicted in these parables you've just mentioned?
Okay, all right. Maybe I think I missed the question. Can you come up again so I can get to the question?
My curiosity is about the cultural responses and societal factors. I'm asking about those. How do these cultural and societal factors influence the way individuals respond to the message of Jesus today? And how does this compare to the responses depicted in these parables you just mentioned?
All right. Okay. So here are the few examples. Well, here are some ways in which cultural and societal factors influence contemporary responses to Jesus' message, how they compare to the responses depicted in the parable. So I will begin with cultural context. So cultural norms and values and beliefs influence people's understanding and reception of Jesus' message. Different cultural contexts may prioritize certain aspects of Jesus' teaching while downplaying or interpreting others differently. This can lead to a variety of responses ranging from enthusiastic or skepticism or even rejection. So I'll move to comparison to parables. So the parables were originally presented within a specific cultural context, and their characters and settings often reflected the social and religious dynamics of Jesus' time. However, the underlying spiritual truth conveyed in the parables transcend cultural boundaries and remain even relevant today. So I'll move on to religious background. On this one, I will not add flesh on this one because I want to rush to the two last ones. So there is religious background again. There is also socio-economic factors. I will speak on this one. So socio-economic factors such as wealthy, poverty, social status, and social status can shape responses to Jesus' message. Economic disparities and materialistic cultures may influence individuals to prioritize worldly pursuits and self-interest, potentially leading to indifference or rejection of the message of Jesus. So comparison to the parables comes in is like this. When many parables address the socio-economic issues and challenge the prevailing attitudes, they criticize the exploitation of the poor, highlighted the dangers of the world and greed, and emphasized the need for compassion and justice. These themes remain relevant today and continue to challenge individuals to reevaluate their priorities and attitudes towards wealth and material possessions. Number four, that will be social and political climate. On this one, I'm not also going to add flesh, but it's another factor that contributed. So in conclusion, the parables continued to provide a timeless lesson and insights into human condition. Our relationship with God challenging individuals across different cultural and societal contexts to respond faithfully to the message of Jesus. Thank you.
Okay. So are there any contemporary examples now of individuals or communities who embody the virtues of faithfulness and repentance portrayed in Jesus' parables? And if there are, what lessons can be learned from their stories?
All right. Okay. So I will mention two, and I will also drive out two lessons from these contemporary examples. So yes, here are a few examples and the lessons we can learn from their stories. I'll begin with the life and work of Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, the founder of the Missionaries of Charity, devoted her life to serving the poorest and the poorest of the poor in Kolkata in India. Her selfless dedication and compassionate care for the marginalized and forgotten exemplified the virtues of faithfulness and repentance. Here is the lesson we can learn from Mother Teresa's example. Mother Teresa's life teaches us the importance of seeing and responding to the needs of others, especially the most vulnerable. Her example challenges us to examine our own lives and consider how we can embrace a spirit of selflessness and compassion and service. Now, the second example will be the forgiveness of the Amish community. In 2006, a tragic shooting occurred in an Amish schoolhouse in Nickel Mines, that's Pennsylvania. 5 young girls were killed and several others were injured. In the face of this tragedy, the Amish community responded with an extraordinary act of forgiveness and reconciliation. They reached out to the affected families and expressing their forgiveness and attended support and love. Now, the lesson we can learn from this story is forgiveness. So their response challenges us to re-examine our own attitudes towards forgiveness and healing power it can bring. It reminds us that forgiveness is a choice rooted in love and mercy, and that is the potential to break cycles of violence and promote healing and reconciliation. I think with this, I can say I'm done.
Yeah, I'll take just one more question with this, and then I'll let you go. How can we recognize and address the barriers that prevent us as people from responding positively to the message of Jesus, such as pride, such as fear, or worldly directions, like distractions rather? How can we recognize those?
All right, okay. So recognizing and addressing the barriers that prevent people from responding positively to the message of Jesus, it requires a thoughtful and compassionate approach. And here are some strategic approaches to consider. So number one is cultivating humility. Pride can hinder a person's openness to the message of Jesus. Modeling humility in our own lives can create an environment where others feel safe to explore their faith and consider the teachings of Jesus. And on number two, I'm going to talk about foster a safe and welcoming environment. Building genuine relationships, actively listening to others' concerns and questions, and demonstrating empathy can help to alleviate fear and create space for open dialogue. An example of addressing worldly distractions. In a world filled with numerous distractions, it can be challenging for people to prioritize their spiritual lives. Encouraging intentional practice such as prayer, meditation, and regular reflection on scriptures can help individuals to refocus their attention on matters of faith and spiritual growth. So ultimately, it is through love, understanding, and authenticating relationships that we can help others overcome obstacles and embrace the transformative power of Jesus' message.
All right. I hear you. Thank you very much. Eye-opening stuff indeed. Thank you very much, Pastor Alan Tendagaya Marimanzi, for your time and your insights. We continue this conversation tomorrow. Until then, have a wonderful day, Verdam Fundis.
Thank you. Be blessed.